The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Father, we come to you this morning with a awareness that we are a prophetic people. And we ask you to help us this morning to give definition to just exactly what does that mean and how does it impact our life day to day. We ask you to lead and guide us, help us to be good communicator, and help us to be good listeners, that we might hear what you're saying to us, Lord. And we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 11, verse 24 through 30. And I want to read a couple of scriptures, one from the Old Covenant and one from the New, one from the Old Testament, one from the New, that captures the purpose for prophetic ministry and why we are a prophetic people. And then, having read that, I want to give some definition. So what does that really mean? We say we're a prophetic people. What on earth are you talking about? We're going to talk about that. But I want to just give some basis first. But if I'm going to do that, I will need to have my Bible. Numbers. Chapter 11 and verse 24. If I could set the stage here, this is where God has said to Moses, gather 70 elders, get them in the tabernacle, and I will come down and I will put my spirit that is upon you, I will put upon them. You remember the people had been grumbling. I know none of you do that, but the people back then did. Because God wasn't performing the way they thought he should. So they started looking back to the past, even though the past was slavery in Egypt, and said, we don't like it like this, we'd rather go back. And Moses comes undone. It's like, God, just kill me now. Take me home, please. He said that several times. And eventually God did. Just saying. So Moses gathers the 70 elders because God says, Moses, you're carrying too heavy load and we're going to put the load on you and 70 others as far as the responsibility for the people. So verse 24, so Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in camp. The name of one was Eldad, the name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Josiah, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, or Joshua, I'm sorry, Joshua, thank you, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all of God's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put on his spirit upon them. And Moses returned to the camp, and both he and the elders of Israel. Let's hold that scenario. We're going to come back to it. But I now want to go to the new covenant. I want to suggest that Moses was the mediator and spokesman for the old covenant and for the Old Testament. He wrote more books than any other one author in the Old Testament. Now we want to hear from a spokesman for the New Testament and the new covenant who wrote more books than anyone else in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Same spirit, different leader. You remember in chapter 13, Paul has just talked about love. He marries that verse and puts that verse between chapter 12, which is about spiritual gifts, and chapter 14, which is about the use of spiritual gifts. And he sandwiches in the middle what we call the love chapter. It often gets used at weddings, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as we understand that it's about a lot more than that. And it's about a love that's different than just romantic love. It's about a love that can only come from God. And it is an attribute of God that he most wants us to express when we move in the gifts. So that's why in verse 1 of chapter 14, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks. Mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. For he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. I want you to notice that both a spokesman for the Old Covenant and the Old Testament, and a spokesman for the New Covenant and the New Testament of the Bible, both said the same thing. Basically this: I wish all of God's people would prophesy. I wish all of God's people were prophetic. Why was that? Well, let's go back to Moses. This is, we read in chapter 11. In chapter 13, he's sending spies into the land that God has promised them. And those spies are going to bring back a report. And wouldn't it have been wonderful if all 12 of them spies would have been people who were prophetic? We're under the umbrella this morning, just as we were over the conference with Alan Ross, under the umbrella of we are a prophetic people. And Moses would, remember, Joshua is jealous for Moses and says, oh, no, they shouldn't prophesy. And Moses says, wait a minute, boy. I wish that all of God's people would prophesy. Just imagine if the 12 spies who went in to spy the land that God had promised had the spirit of prophecy on them, they all would have came back with a positive report. They all, see, Joshua and Caleb came back with prophecy on their lips. We can take the land. We can do this. Why? Because they were hearing heaven. You want a definition of what being a prophetic people is? It is a people who take the truth of heaven and bring it to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is simply bringing the truths of heaven to earth. The children of Israel they refused to go into the promised land, and they spent 40 years in the wilderness waiting for a generation to die who refused to go in, so Joshua could lead in a new generation who said, we will go in. That's a hard lesson. All because they were not a prophetic people. I think it's a tragic commentary there that it says the 70 prophesied on the day of their inauguration or their commissioning or their ordination or whatever you want to say, but never did so again. Are you kidding me? We are a prophetic people, and we're intended to be a prophetic people. I love the logo. It's on a board out on the side. I don't know if we can put that up easily, Mandy, but there is a board. Nice sign. Help me. I'm in the spirit and not in my head. It's a piece of canvas. Yeah, look at that. You see where they're looking? To the heavens. Prophetic people always have their eye on heaven. Now, the Apostle Paul, and I'm not going to spend much time on this because I want to go somewhere. The Apostle Paul gives some direction on what prophetic encouragement. See, it's in the language of love and in the language of heaven. God doesn't have anything to say to you that isn't couched in love. That's right. And if anyone ever brings you a word and says to you, this is what I hear God saying, make sure that it doesn't just carry the word of the Lord. A lot of times I hear the right words, but it doesn't have the heart of the Lord.
Come on.
It doesn't have his tenderness. It doesn't have his mercy. It doesn't have his joy. It doesn't have his peace. It doesn't have his love. And it's like, no thank you. I'm not letting that in. Beware of words that give you direction or correction. I'm not saying you don't need that. But I'm saying that'll come directly from your Heavenly Father. Now, Alan said it well last week. When words of direction and correction come, they usually come to a grouping of people. Be very careful if someone comes to you with direction for your life as an individual. Why? Because we just read it in chapter 14. The purpose of being a prophetic people is that we might edify one another, that we might exhort one another, and that we might comfort one another. And I realize sometimes exhortation can be strong, but it should always, always, always carry the tenderness of our Father. And if it doesn't, just be careful. Don't receive every word that someone says is from the Lord, even if it's from Alan Ross. Alan said it well while he was teaching here. There's a big difference between Scripture and a prophetic word from someone. And if prophetic words were 100% accurate, then they would be on the same level as Scripture. And they're not. And so we need to always judge the words and consider them and process them with the Lord. But that's not where I want to go this morning. I just wanted to put that in there. Alan said this, God sets processes in motion for the present and for the future. I want us to understand that if we are a prophetic people, we are only focused in two areas, the presently where I'm at and my future, where am I going? One of the dangers that you and I have is living in three realms, the past, the present, and the future. And I highly recommend that you do not live in the past. It's a hard place to live since it's already gone. You have to bring the past with you. See, many people, far too many people, bring their past into their present by how they think and speak. But prophetic people bring their future into their present by how they think and speak. I want to encourage you. You're either verbalizing and living off the past, or you're living for your future. And that doesn't mean you're not in the present and you don't live in the present, but you have an eye toward heaven. And what is heaven saying about your future? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prophetic people, as a prophetic people, we should have the future in mind. And most of you do. Most of you, I'll ask you, how many of you are planning on going to heaven when you die? See, you've already got reservations. We are a prophetic people. It's in our DNA. It's in the message that we believe. But we must be careful that we live for the present and for the future. God is always in the present and for the future. You might notice from time to time when Alan prophesies over someone, he might mention something from the past, but that's only to give a significance of an accuracy for the rest of the word. Very often, his words will carry a little piece of the past, a little piece of the present, and a little piece of the future. And the accuracy of the present word and the past word gives us confidence that maybe, but we need to judge it. I'll say that again. Maybe what he's saying for the future is also right. It's important that we are a people who are able to let go of the past so that we can go and move toward our future. There may be some of you here this morning who are stuck and hung up on the past because of a forgiveness issue. I encourage you to talk to John after the service. Consider taking that class. If you find that you cannot break free of your past, one of the possibilities is that there's just some unforgiveness that's at work. And that shouldn't be a dirty word among us. It is the heart of the gospel. And if that's the case, just get it right. Make it right. Get free of it so that you can focus on your future. We are a prophetic people. It's our DNA. We're born that way. We are prophetic because God's prophetic. He is so prophetic that before you were born, He knew all about you. He fashioned and formed you. He set your life out. That's how prophetic He is. So why not get in step with Him? And sometimes the propheticness of God offends people, especially if He begins to mess with our life. Like, who does He think He is? God? Yes. He is. Oh, I need my phone. I want to read to you a couple of screenshots that I took off Facebook. If it was on Facebook, I mean, is this authority enough? One of them is a quote from Facebook from our very own Cody Delwo. We need to hang out with people who fit our future, not our history. How's that? We need to hang out with people who fit our future, not our history. We need to begin to see, here's the secret to prophetic people. Prophetic people begin to bring the future into the present before it is the present. So that when they get to the future, it now is their present. Did you catch that? We began to pull on the future. How? With our, I'm going to cover that in a minute, but I'll tell you right now, by how we think and how we speak. We began to pull on the future. Before it happens. Because we see it and we hear it. And we begin to pull on it. I'm not going to say a lot about it. As you know, I teach over the years, I've taught out of the crucible of my own life and what's going on in my own life. And over the future, I'll teach more, but I'll say this. I'm married today because I saw it prophetically. And I begin to pull it from the future into my present with how I thought and how I spoke. But it was God's initiation, not mine. That's the most important thing we must understand about being a prophetic people. If we become a pathetic people, if we begin to pull on our own ideas and our own ways, it's when we see from heaven and we hear from heaven. And sometimes God is a radical God. Did you know that God loves drama? He does things in some dramatic fashion, like impregnating a little teenage girl with his son. And she's engaged to be married. Think about the drama he created in that little girl's life, Mary. And Joseph, and her parents, and his parents, and the whole village. How would you like to tell your dad and mom that you had a visitation of an angel and you're pregnant? I'm just saying, honey. Think of the drama he created in her life, in their life. And he loves to create drama in your life too. And he doesn't always do things like we think he should do them because he thinks he's God. And so he goes around acting like it, and he does unique and wonderful and awesome things, but we need to see them so that we can co-labor with them and begin to pull out of our future in our present and begin to live it. We do it more than we think we do on a lot of things, but we need to do it on everything. We are a prophetic people. I wonder if I can get rid of this one. I loved the quote. This is Facebook again. Our very own Dan Peters. I don't think he put it on. I think someone was quoting him, probably. Prophetic imagination energizes people with hope and vision to break free from change of status quo. I'll read that again. Prophetic imagination energizes people with hope and vision for the future. You don't need vision for your past. You already lived it. And it may have, listen to me, it doesn't matter whether it was good or bad. That's not the point. The point is, it's gone. You cannot have it back. Time is like a river. No man can step into the same river twice. When he comes to step in, he finds the river has changed, and so has he. And so we must be a people who live in the present, yes, and enjoy the present and relish and suck out of the present all the joy and all the life you can, but be very aware that your present is very soon going to be your past. So you better have some future plans. Do you know how quickly the past sneaks up on us? I had a cup of coffee. It's partially drunk. Drinkened over there. But it's past. That was over a half hour ago. You think I'm being silly, but we need to understand that God, a prophetic people, live in a time zone that is always present and future focused. Because that's all you can have. We heard it, I think we heard it prophetically this morning a little bit. Forget the former things, the scripture tells us in a couple different places. Paul said, forgetting the things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind. And that don't mean we don't have good memories, and that it doesn't mean any of that. It just means that we may have it, but it does not have us. And we are free to live the present and to move toward the future. Prophetic imagination energizes people with hope and vision to break free from the chains of status quo. The Bible calls us a peculiar people, and I recommend that prophetic people are very peculiar. By the way, a lot of pastors are very, very nervous when they get around prophetic people. Very nervous. A lot of pastors get very, very nervous with prophetic intercessors because they see things and hear things and have opinions and feel. See, if you get a download of something from heaven and you get it in your heart, you feel it strongly. And you can't believe. This is a pitfall of prophetic people. I'm just telling you because I know. How do I know this? Prophetic people see and feel things so strongly. It's like, don't you get it? Doesn't everybody think this way? Doesn't everybody see this way? Can't you see it? No. They can't. Because they didn't get the download you did. They got a download. Don't judge them. They have their own download, and you won't get it. And sometimes our downloads are for us to pray and to pull on the future and call it into the present, and then they'll see it. So it's okay if they don't see it when it's in its embryo seed form. Fertilize the seed with prayer. Cultivate the seed with prayer. Water the seed with prayer. Keep calling it in, whether it's in, you know, in corporate life or in your life. Okay, so we must bring the future into the present. How do we do that? First of all, judge and discern. Number one, judge and discern prophetic words. Do they carry the word of the Lord and the heart of the Lord? That's if that's coming from someone else. Also, if you hear something, because being a prophetic people is just not about me hearing something for you and then giving it to you. Being a prophetic people is me hearing things for myself. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." So being a prophetic people, no one told me anything about my next year except Alan prophesied and said that God would prophetically lead me in 12 calendar months. That was on October 14th, 2019, or 18. We don't always need to hear prophetic downloads from other people. Sometimes God wants us to get with Him and He wants us to hear. His sheep know His voice. But then I must judge whether it comes from outside, from another person, or myself. I got to come to an assessment. Is this the word of the Lord? Number two, see the future. Begin to see it. Look at the things which are unseen rather than the things which are seen. Begin to see the future, envision, or the prophetic imagination that I just read in Dan's quote. Prophetic, you have an imagination. It's one of the, I believe it's part of being made in the image of God. God has an active imagination. He created you. Oh my goodness. And He created us so different and yet so the same. And He saw the end from the beginning. Ask God to activate your prophetic imagination to be able to see, not only hear what He's saying, but then to begin to see it. Renee, when she preached, you know, talked about the whole saying of, do we believe it when we see it, or do we see it when we believe it? And there's a little bit of both. And I don't mean with our natural eyes, but we can see with our eyes of the Spirit. That's what Paul said. Look at the unseen things, which seems like a paradox. What do you mean, look at the unseen things? If it's unseen, how do I look at it? With the eyes of the Spirit. With my prophetic imagination. Number three. Or so we judge and discern that it's right. Number two, we see the future. Prophetic imagination. Number three, think on the future. Somebody mentioned it in their prophetic word. We need to meditate on the things of God. Most certainly we need to meditate on the scriptures of God. But we can also meditate on the things that we feel God is speaking to us. Process them. Plan. Do you know it's okay to move toward your future before your future is here? In fact, it is a key to being ready to step. It is possible for God to prophetically tell us our future, and we are so lazy that we don't co-labor with what He said He's going to do, and all of a sudden we find that, oh my goodness, God was right. And I find myself in my future, and it's like,
I'm unprepared. Because I didn't co-labor. God wants us. He delights in inviting us into. He delights in letting us know what he's up to. And then says, okay, now, let's walk out this process together. And sometimes we're in the process with God and we say, God, this is killing me. He says, exactly. Yes, I know that. And we come out the other side of it, a change, new creation, even as we heard prophetically this morning. God is always making things new. He who sits at the right hand of the Father has a message, I believe, is constantly coming out of his mouth. Behold, I make all things new. And I come out of the process that he had me in that was moving me toward my future, and I'm a changed person, and I'm ready for my future, which is now my present. And what was my present is my past. Number four, speak the future. Speak out the future. When God shows you something, begin to speak it out. Speak it out in prayer, most certainly. See, we of all of God's creation are created in his image. And one of the primary ways that we are able to do what God does is speak. Let there be light. Your voice is more powerful than you realize. And we, like our Heavenly Father, need to be a people who call the thing that be not as though it were. Because we know it's going to be. And we speak it into existence and we call it out of the future into the present in his timing, not ours. But that's what it means to be a prophetic people, to speak. See, prophecy is not just foretelling. It's not just foretelling the future, it is forthtelling. It is bringing the future forth. It is calling it into being. That's what God did when he said, let there be light. Yeah. And we have the ability, the human tongue, you are a creative force. Your words are powerful. And they can either reflect what you hear God saying concerning your future, or they can reflect your thinking about your present and past. And again, I'm not implying that always our past is that bad. That's not the point. The point is it's gone. Time marches on. And sometimes it sprints. Just saying. So speak the future, and we just read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. One of the ways that you can speak the future is to pray in tongues, to speak in the Spirit. We read it. My mind is unfruitful, so I can't mess it up. Come on. But I'm speaking mysteries to God. Now, that doesn't mean that I've finally come along and explained something to God. No, no, no. It means it's a mystery to me, what I just said to him. Shandali arondari bakilia. So it's a mystery to me what I said. But here's the bottom line. I get edified. And I believe you could apply the other two purposes of prophetic. I get edified, I get exhorted, and I get comforted. And I did it all by myself. And my mind is not connected to it. We need to know that this is real. It's part of being a prophetic people. The Bible tells us that David spoke to himself. He said, soul, be encouraged in the Lord. I want to suggest to you that being a prophetic people allows us to stay in a place of joy and peace. It, In the latter part of his ministry, Jesus spoke to his disciples, and just he was explaining, and if I could say it this way, prophesying some things to them about he was going to be leaving and, you know, going to the cross and all of that. And of course, they didn't get it. But he said, I have spoken these things to you so that my peace. In another place, I have spoken these things to you so that my joy. If we stay in a place of posture of looking toward heaven, rather and living on earth, but getting a hold of heaven's truths for our lives, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we are in that posture of constantly living, yes, in the present to the fullness, and yet looking to the future, I tell you this, you will stay, can stay in a place of peace and joy. Because your life is based on the word of the Lord. Your life is based on what you hear God saying about you. By the way, if you're here this morning and your perception of God is a mean and angry judge, you need to understand that's not who God is. Heaven is one of the most joyful places you and I will ever be, and it's because of God. What does the scripture say? The joy of the Lord, not my joy, His joy is my strength. And if I am a prophetic person, I am focused on what He says about me, and it'll bring joy to me. It'll bring peace to me. He loves me with an everlasting love. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. If you look up that scripture, what it means is surely goodness and mercy will run you down and catch you.
That's right.
And give you a big hug.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. It's true. That's the nature of our Father. So being a prophetic person allows me to stay in a place of positivity. If we as prophetic people should be some of the most encouraging people for anyone to hang around. Because we are edifying, we are exhorting, and we are comforting. And we're always doing it under the banner of love. We're loving with our life. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you ever in your work situation or whatever have had people ask, what is it with you? Oh, I'm just prophetic. I can't help it. I just love everybody. Well, actually, I haven't met everybody yet, but I'm pretty sure I love everybody. And we're encouragers and we're life givers. And this morning, a prophetic word was released by Rochelle, and it carried with it, I believe, an impartation. And I asked her if she would be okay with praying that over us. I'm going to ask if Rochelle will come up. And there was a meaty piece. Well, it was all meat, but there was a meaty piece there of just seeing ourselves differently and being aware. Here's what I know. I just put her on the spot. I understand that. But she's a prophetic person. And here's what we need to understand about the prophetic. It doesn't always come from out here. Sometimes it's in here. And it just bubbles up. And so it will.
Yay.
put out, let's stand and just put out your hands as to receive something from the Lord.
The Lord says yes to you. He says, yes, I'm giving you this. Believe me, you have my permission to step out in faith and be my people. In your family, at work, at Walmart, wherever you go, I'm saying yes to you. Believe me, I'm taking your hand, I'm walking with you, and I give you permission to be who I made you to be. I give you fresh eyes today to see my kingdom on earth, my kingdom in all the places that you walk. I'm giving you fresh eyes to see. I'm giving you a heart to believe. And then take that and move in faith. The action part is your faith, but you have everything. I equip you with everything that you need to walk as my people, as a prophetic people. You will shine. You will bring glory to my name. Do not wonder about this. It is who you are. You already are this, and you have my permission. You are blessed and anointed to walk in this way.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you for the encouragement and the challenge to be more deliberate in looking and listening to heaven and getting a perspective that is more than just earthly. Father, we declare that we will be a people who are future focused while living in the moment and enjoying the present. We thank you for prophetic imagination that allows us to be and live above the status quo, to be a unique and peculiar people who love our God and do great exploits. We thank you, Father, for the ability you give us to love intentionally with our lives and to be lovers of men, to be lovers of people all around us, because you are. We thank you, Father, that to be prophetic is to be a representative and an ambassador from whom our messages and our awareness comes. Give us eyes to see, Lord, those around us as you see them. Give us a heart for them. Not in bunches or in groupings necessarily, but this individual or that individual. Father, deliver us of the fear of man, that we might invest ourselves in the lives of others. We thank you, Father, that you have the ability to make all things new. And we ask you to make us new, even here this morning. Just a new awareness of how uniquely fashioned and formed we are as a new creation. We thank you that old things have passed away and will continue to pass away, and all things are becoming new. We ask you to bless each person here this morning, Lord, as we leave. May we have a full awareness of how awesome you think we are and how awesome you are continuing to fashion and form us. Thank you for the newness that you bring into our lives. And thank you for the newness that you allow us to be used of you to bring into the lives of those around us. Because one thing's for sure, Lord, you do make all things new. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.